Last time we talked, Phil, was about 2 months ago when I came and chatted with you about the Three Sides Live album, the Genesis album. Since then, you've been busy recording a new solo album. That's actually been in the recording stage for some time, and some of the tracks were conceived and written at the same time as Face Value.
Yes, I had two songs actually that were, in fact, two songs in bits and pieces, and a few other little odds and sods that were about around the time of Face Value, but they weren't actually developed, so I left them until they sort of let them develop on their own a bit. This album was done in a very different way, in some respects at least, because Face Value was accumulated. The album sort of crept up behind me after about a year or so of just learning how to operate my 8-track, learning how to finish a song, which I'd never really done before, or often anyway. The album, suddenly I had 12, 13 songs that were good enough to keep, and I kept the demos that I'd made and used them as the masters. This time around, I hadn't had that accumulating going on, so I mean, I was just working with other people. I was doing Frida's album, for instance, in Sweden, and I decided there and then that I wanted to do another album, and so I booked some studio time, and I let myself have a deadline of about 5 or 6 weeks. And went home after, I mean, Friday night I went and left Sweden, and Monday morning I went upstairs to my bedroom and started to play the piano. And 5 or 6 weeks later, fortunately, I'd come out with some songs, which I was very, very pleased with. And also, by that time I'd also done the backing tracks, because I tend to record and write at the same time.
Considering your Genesis commitments and writing songs for the group, which is your main project in life, I would assume.
No. Not really, no. That now we've all got solo careers, or solo outlets, they're not careers, they're just solo outlets. The band really stays together to write as a group, so really we don't actually give each other the solo songs anymore. I mean, we were around the time of Duke, and to a lesser extent on Abacab, but I think from now on, the group will stay together and write together, which is what we do best, and the individual written songs, then they will be sort of held back for our own purposes, because that, otherwise it's just like someone playing as a session player on someone else's song.
Do you find it easier now contributing songs and material to Genesis because you get a lot of your own individual ideas out the way via your own solos, and the same with, say, Mike Rutherford and Tony?
Yeah, I think the way it works is that, you know, if you have a couple of bits that are left over that don't go anywhere, or you can't really, you know, or you haven't had the time to develop, you throw them into the middle of the rehearsal room and someone else picks them up and plays it their way, and then adds a bit to that, and so you get sort of songs that are sort of developed from that. So it's a very different way of working, and it means that there is a reason for the group to carry on. I know some people are groaning that the group is carrying on, but I mean, you know, we enjoy writing together. And going back to the other thing you said just now about the most important project, I view it at this point in time that myself, you know, I mean, I am the most important thing to me, in as much as the group. I dabble in a lot of things, and dabble is probably not the right word, but I do tend to sort of to enjoy work and enjoy playing with lots of different people in different situations. So I tend to reach out and do something, and then I'll come back in and I'll reach out and do something else in the other direction. And that is what I include Genesis in. But really, I mean, as one gets a little bit older and a little bit wiser, you know, you want to sort of be able to do it on your own, or be able to do it on your own, even if you don't do it all the time. So I think I am in the middle here, and reaching out to do these different things, one of which is Genesis.
Do you find it easier now to write songs for solo albums? I mean, you were saying for, a few minutes ago that you'd come back from doing Frida's album in Sweden on a Friday, and on a Monday morning went up to the piano and started writing. Now, was that an easy? Is it easy for you to get songs together?
Well, yes, obviously it depends on days. I mean, the first 2 weeks of me upstairs writing after video was probably rubbish, you know. So it's not a question of me just turning it on. I'm no way am I a prolific writer, and no way am I a consistent writer. You know, I just make noises that appeal to me, and therefore I because they appeal to me, I put them onto record, and hopefully they appeal to other people. So I wouldn't say that I find it easy. I know exactly what I don't want and what I don't like, and it's a little easier to sort of to do that than to say I know what I like. So
when you say about the sound that you make now, 1981 was the year of Face Value and the Phil Collins solo work. that sound you've developed and continued with Hello, I Must Be Going, the second album, do you think there's a danger that you could be repeating the same sorts of sounds and the same kind of style of writing and constructing music this time around and perhaps be overdoing it?
Well, I'm aware of, because I work a lot, it's funny, you know, if you don't work, if someone in my position with a band like Genesis does not do anything other than Genesis and the odd project, you get looked upon as being an idle rich, you know. If, on the other hand, you work a lot, which is what I do, people tend to say, he loves it, doesn't he? He just loves to be an egotistical rock star, you know, he's just spreading himself too thin. I mean, I like to work, and my playing with John Martin, for instance, on one hand, or playing with Eno on the other, or doing Mike Oldfield or Plant, you know, it's all so different that it's not as if it comes from the same place. I mean, it comes from the same heart and the same pair of hands, but it doesn't come from the same musical place. So with my album, I think it's too early for me to anybody to say I have a style. I mean, with this album, I like horns, you know, and there's a certain side of me which loves the R&B side. And if I'm going to use a horn section, I'm going to use the best horn section I know, and they are the guys that I use. And, now I'm writing almost certain things on this album have been written with them in mind. I'm a very limited keyboard player, so what comes out on an album keyboard-wise will be very simplistic, you know. So there is a certain similarity. I mean, I think it was unfortunate that Through These Walls was maybe the first single in England because of the sustained chords and the slow rhythm, the people were saying, oh, it's just like In the Air, but not as good. Which it is. I mean, it's not as good as In the Air, but it was never meant to be anything like it, you know. Mm. It was just, especially lyrically, it's a totally different kind of thing.
Well, having had a couple of shots at listening to the new album, my first impressions are that it's slightly jazzier, certainly more up-tempo than In the Air Tonight and Face Value, which I think you were saying earlier when we did the mini-view, was a slightly sad album. So you've moved on a bit and changes have gone on in your life to affect your songwriting in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few things that when you tend to do interviews, you tend to sort of get into a certain way of doing them. And I found myself recently referring to Face Value as a depressing, miserable album because I was depressed and miserable at the time. But in fact, the album isn't. I mean, there's more up songs and more, you know, have-a-go songs than in fact I remember, so I've been listening to them recently because we're going on tour. So I've obviously, I haven't listened to it for quite a while, and you get trapped in this sort of the way you think of things. I think this album is more up. It's more up in vibe. Some of the songs, obviously, I write from personal experience most of the time, 99% of the time. So, although I tend to draw on that period of my life when I was very down, because if you're writing a love song, it's nice to be able to draw on that. Or a love, whatever, you know, like, no, not a not love song, you know, whatever you want to call it. So it's probably more up, than more rocky than Face Value, I think.
You're inspired by the things that happen to you in your life. I think that's where a lot of songwriters get their inspiration from breakups of marriages or love affairs or whatever. A lot of your songs are about love or lost love or people that have let you down. Are there other things that you would like to write music about? Politics, for example, does the world issues that go on, Russia, the Falkland Islands, for example, do you get inspiration? Because some songwriters do, and they write about those sorts of things.
Yeah, I sound a bit wimpish, don't I, actually, just writing about love songs. But, no, I'm not politically motivated. I don't know much about politics. Apart from what affects me, and obviously, you know, things do affect us, rock musicians. I didn't say rock stars for a minute, but that's terrible. I mean, just people that you assume that, you know, it goes on, right by you, and without you even sort of noticing these things. But I just feel that, I don't know, I don't have a strong enough opinion. I mean, I just know what's right and wrong, but I don't have a strong enough, like the Clash, you know. I just think there's two ways of looking at it. You either, you know, drum something in how bad a situation is with a song, say, or you try and use that time as an escape, you know, for other people to maybe listen to it and think, to forget about it for a while. Like, I think with Genesis, for instance, at a gig, we could, if we were writing that kind of music, you know, you're unemployed, go out there and sort of, you know, create havoc to get this thing, you know, changed. That's one way of doing it. Or the other way of doing it is to actually take someone away for 2 hours and make them forget about it. They are both are as valid as the other. So I personally, I find it more easier, you know, to write from personal experience. Some of the songs, I say, Through These Walls and Like China, are nothing to do with, you know, they're just ideas, little ideas. I mean, I guess there's something biographical in it, autobiographical, but...
You know. You mentioned Genesis on tour. Now, something that you're about to embark on is your first solo tour. Now, we've never seen Phil Collins actually singing any of his solo work except for the Amnesty International show in London. This will be the first opportunity people will get to see you do In The Air Tonight, and the songs from the first album, and obviously you'll be premiering the new stuff. As the Fabulous Jacuzzis and the One Neat Guy, what's that all about?
Well, got to have a name for the group. That was the first thing I thought of, and the Phil Collins Band is a bit ordinary. So what we thought, on the Genesis tour, we and Daryl, who's playing in the band with Chester Thompson, we were talking about group names, and Peter Robinson, who I've known for years, very, very funny man, very, very funny. And him and Daryl and myself, we were talking about, we had this sort of way of communicating where, in fact, if I ring him up, I don't say hello, I say scene, and he'll say cats, and I'll say fabulous, and he'll say jacuzzi. It's just like the 60s vernacular, you know. And Daryl picked it up because we did the Frida album together. So now we just go around communicating by 60s language, you know. And we thought that for a title for a group would be... I mean, Daryl wanted to be called The Neat Guys, right? So it's Phil Collins and The Neat Guys. But Fabulous Jacuzzis appealed to me a little more, but Daryl insisted on being The Neat Guy. So we've got The Fabulous Jacuzzis and The One Neat Guy.
The press have been saying that The One Neat Guy will be a different guest each night. Now, is that wrong? Are they wrong?
Yes, they are wrong. Well, it's understandable, the confusion that's sort of arisen. It was suggested to me at one point, because I was working with Plant and Frida and a few other, and John Martin, maybe having a guest each night, you know. But that gets very, very clumsy and very, very chaotic. So I said, no, nice idea, but I don't think we can do that. And then it was just mentioned in passing to the press people. And because there was the One Neat Guy, they put two and two together. So, in fact, there won't be anything like that. The One Neat Guy is Daryl, although it could change if he doesn't pull his socks up, you know. It's one of those sort of things.
Now, you're going on tour in Britain very shortly with that solo tour. What plans have you got after that? Are you going abroad?
Yep, well, we start off, actually, in Holland, and then we go to France, and then we go to Germany, then Brussels, Belgium, rather. And then we come to London.
It's Tuesday.
Yes, exactly. It'll be a Saturday, no, Friday in Brussels, and then a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Hammersmith. And then we go to America and we do